And if you're going to grade hadith, and as a specialist should, you should not rely on Taqrib al-Tahdhib, because he just gives you a summary. You have to go to other books like Tahdhib al-Tahdhib by Ibn Hajar. Because some narrators are acceptable in certain circumstances, but they are not acceptable in others. For example, there is a narrator by the name of Hushain, and there is also Imam al-Zuhri. Hushain is a thiqah, he is trustworthy. You'll find his hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim. And al-Zuhri, of course, is very well known as a good scholar of hadith. But in Sahih al-Bukhari or Sahih Muslim, you'll never find any hadith from Hushain on the authority of al-Zuhri. Because when Hushain studied with al-Zuhri, he was very young. And at that time, he was not proficient in hadith. So therefore, they do not accept the hadith of Hushain on the authority of al-Zuhri. So sometimes the person is thiqa or trustworthy in himself, but not always. Like as I said in the khatira, so-called khatira ba'd al-fajr, some people did not believe me when I said what I said. And some narrators, they begin to make ikhtilat, they lost their memory. So they are thiqa for a certain period of time, but after that time, they're no longer considered authentic. So if you have narrators narrating from them after that time, the narration is not the. But if you have narrators narrating from them before that time, their hadith are acceptable. So you cannot go to a book like Taqrib al-Tahdhib and make a serious study of hadith, especially when you're talking about hadith, for example, Sahih Muslim. And this is one of the mistakes that Al-Albani has made with respect to Sahih Muslim. He just took the conclusion of Ibn Hajr without studying the narrators in detail. Another problem, and this is perhaps an even bigger problem, is that many times Imam Muslim did not record the best isnad that he had for the hadith. So Al-Albani today may look at the hadith and he'll look at the isnad and he'll say this isnad is weak, and he'll reject the hadith. This happened during the time of Imam Muslim. Abu Zur'a, the one I referred to earlier, before Imam Muslim gave him the book to review it, he criticized some of the chains in Sahih Muslim. So someone went to Imam Muslim and asked him about it. He said, Abu Zur'a criticized you for using this chain instead of that chain. So Imam Muslim's answer is very, very interesting. There's something, by the way, among the ulama of hadith, they like to have a chain which they call Ali, as opposed to a chain which they call Nadri. Ali means the shortest chain. They like to have the shortest chain because they feel they're closer to the Prophet in that way. And the closer they are to the Prophet, the closer they are in the chain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the source of the revelation. So when Imam Muslim was asked about some chains that he used, he said that I use those chains in the book because they are shorter, Ali. And I knew that won't harm anything because these hadith are well known amongst the scholars of hadith to be sahih. Now, in other words, he knows all the authentic chains, but he didn't record them. Because these hadith are so well known amongst the scholars of hadith to be authentic, that he could put the shorter chain even if it's weaker. Now, you have to keep in mind that Al-Bukhari and Muslim, they did not record all of the chains that they knew. The hadith of Innama al-Amal ibn Niyat, from Umar ibn Khattab. After Umar, two linked after him, is Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan. You'll find the hadith of Innama al-Amal ibn Niyat in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim with 23 different chains. And one of the scholars, after them, made a collection of all of the chains of this hadith just from Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan. And he said there's more than 700 chains from Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan. But of course, al-Bukhari and Muslim are not going to write all 700 chains. Otherwise, it's not going to be mukhtasar. No one's going to be able to carry it with them. I mean, that's one of the considerations. So when we look at it now, so many years later, and say, well, look at this hadith, the chain is weak, while Imam Muslim at that time is saying, well, these hadith are so well known that even if we put a weaker chain, it's okay because we want to make the chain shorter. And we have to keep in mind this consideration. So these hadith are the ones that the scholars at that time agreed upon, and we cannot just look at one chain of Sahih Muslim and say that this hadith is weak. Another mistake Al-Albani made is he takes one isnad, which is Al-Layth an Abu Zubair an Jabir, and there's about 31 hadith in Sahih Muslim with this chain, and he concludes that all of them are weak. The reason he concludes that they are weak is because he says that Abu Zubair is mudallis. And he is someone who uses the term an incorrectly. Now how can I explain that very quickly without... What he's saying is that when Abu Zubair says an Jabir, it means he did not hear directly from Jabir. So therefore the chain is broken, and we cannot accept it. Now all of the scholars of hadith at that time never included Abu Zubair as someone who commits tabligh. Now they were very careful about who commits tabligh, and they tried to study and find those narrators who commit tabligh. None of them ever mentioned that Abu Zubair is from those people who commit tabligh. Until whom? Well, An-Nasa'i is one. He's the only scholar from that time that says that Abu Zubair committed tabligh. And this is based on an interpretation of something that he... an incident that he narrated. When Abu Zubair, he gave a book of hadith to another scholar, his name is Shu'bah, he gave him a book of hadith from Jabir. The book contains 700 hadith from Jabir. This type of giving of hadith is called munawwala, which if you do not give it with permission to narrate the hadith, it is not considered an authentic way to pass on hadith. So he gave him this book, and Shu'bah asked him, did you hear all of these hadith from Jabir? He said, no, some of them I heard directly from him, some from other people. So he told him, okay, tell me which ones you heard directly. So he sat down and he told him. Okay. And Masai concludes from this that maybe Abu Zubair commits tabligh. Well, this is not a clear enough proof, because he's not narrating on the authority of Jabir hadith that he did not hear. This is a type of manawala without ijazah or without permission to narrate. The second one to say that Abu Zubair commits tabligh is Ibn Hazm again. And the third one to say it is Al-Albani. And as I said, he uses this to reject about 31 hadith from Sahih Muslim. We have to keep in mind, as I said, that not all of the chains that they knew are recorded in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. There are groups of work known as the type of book is called Mustakhraj. Well, Mustakhraj, what the one who makes Mustakhraj does is, for example, he takes Sahih Muslim and he tries to bring exactly the same hadith through different chains. Either from Muslim's teacher or his teacher or so forth, back to the Sahaba, back to the Prophet. And there are 25 books of Mustakhraj on the true Sahih. There are 25 different scholars gathered together, different chains, for the same hadith you'll find inside of Bukhari. One of them, in one of those books in Mustakhraj, you'll find 25,000 different chains for the hadith inside Muslim. So when we, nowadays, when we try to criticize, I will conclude, inshallah, and I will forget about the other points that I was going to discuss, because I think I hear them warming up the engine on my train right now. And the things we have to, things we should conclude concerning Sahih Bukhari inside Muslim is that, first of all, our judgment concerning them has to be based on what the scholars of hadith themselves say about it. Well, the scholars of hadith are agreed that all of the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, all of the musnad hadith, we take out the mu'alaqat, all of the musnad hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim are authentic, and that they are at the level of ilm al-yaqini, either a bururi or a nazari, meaning every Muslim has to believe in them. And as Shah Wali Allah, the Muhaddith of India of the last century, he said, if anyone criticizes, you may study the hadith and criticize the hadith as a scholarly work, but he said, he concludes that since there's ijma' on the acceptability of these hadith, and we have lost many of the information that al-Bukhari and Muslim has to grade these hadith as sahih, anyone who considers this, any hadith in there as unauthentic, he is committing a bid'ah and he is not following the way of the believers. In other words, he is not following the ijma. So I'll pull it for the higher. Hamid left. Hamid always leaves at the wrong time. Looking for a taxi for me? I hope he has better luck than when I was in Mecca trying to get a taxi to Cairo. The question from the sister is, can I say something about the... I'm repeating it.
Did you comment on
the... You leave at the wrong time and you come back at the wrong time.
I'm planning.
Yeah, this is what we assume. But he might be planning on how to delay my trip. Also. You have to.
So regarding Riyad al-Salihin, it is not a source book of hadith. What I mean by that, when we talk about the source books of hadith, they are the ones originally collected by scholars of hadith with their chains back to the Prophet. This is a book from a much later scholar, a scholar of hadith, his name is An-Nawi. And what he did is he went through the books of hadith, he went through the source books of hadith, and he collected some hadith. He took from, but not like Hatib al-Layl, and he took very very specifically, he took hadith from Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim and Sunan Abu Dawud, and the standard collections of hadith. And he organized them in a way which is very nice, and he put some Quranic verses related to the specific topic. And almost all of the hadith in Riyad al-Salihin are authentic. There's about 20 hadith or so that have been criticized by some scholars, like Al-Arnaud and other scholars. But in general, when you take hadith from Riyad al-Salihin, you can be fairly certain that it's authentic. As I said, Nawawi was one of the great, although he was a later scholar, he was one of the great scholars of hadith. We have about 5 minutes,
okay? Oh, we have about 7 minutes.
I hope the brother who takes me there is going to drive like the brother who brought me here. Not less than 80 miles per hour, regardless of who is in front of you, if there's any. Yeah, you all know the taxicab company that I'm talking about, huh?
I'm asking about those hadiths being ضعفت, how to say it in English?
Called weak.
Weakened by Albani. Is this from the Mu'allaqat in Bukhari or some of them from the Musnad? I get confused whether his weak is being confined just to the Mu'allaqat where there is a ground.
The ones I was talking about
and the
are from Sahih Muslim. But Sahih Muslim, as I said, there's only like 4 hadith which are mu'allaqat. But he's talking about from the basics of the book. He's criticizing hadith that ulama have agreed upon or are authentic.
Do you recommend all the books of Ibn al-Qayyim to be read?
Ibn al-Qayyim?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah.
He has some books which if your Arabic isn't good, you'll still be able to understand them, like Zad al-Ma'ad. He has other books, your Arabic better be good to really understand them.
What is the last comment?
And he has 2 styles of writing. I don't know if you noticed this in Ibn Qayyim. He has a style which is like his Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah. Very clear, very simple. You'll find that in Zad al-Ma'ad, A'lam al-Mu'aqqiheen, Al-Munar al-Madis. And this is very simple for anyone to read and benefit a lot from. He has another style which is more adib, more literary style. And also he was influenced by many of the Sufi shuyukh that time. So he has also sometimes in writing you have to know what he's talking about to understand. So if your Arabic is good, you will also benefit a great deal from those books. But if you're someone like me, you should stick to the
Are there Rijal Isnad until now having the same characters? Yes, are there? And yes.
And it is.
And you know what's their names or addresses now? Their names.
Whose
names? I mean, people now.
People?
Some names about.
The Isnad, as a technical way of transmitting hadith, it died out somewhat in the 5th century, but it was still used to pass on books through what is known as ijazah, and I will not go into that in detail. But there's still many hadith which some scholars have that they transmitted to their students from the time of the Prophet ﷺ until now. For example, Abdulaziz bin Baz can give you some hadith with this narr from himself back to the Prophet. Al-Alawi al-Malaki, the father of the one now in Mecca, he was also muhaddith. He also had isnad from himself back to the Prophet.
Assalamu alaikum.
Inshallah, this is the last question.
Inshallah, I'll make it a quick one. What do you think of the translators who use, I'm speaking of the English translation of the hadith, like Sahih al-Bukhari, who don't use the right isnad, use the last narrator?
Oh, you mean they cut the isnad?
Right, they cut it very short. I'm talking about the English version.
Yeah.
Is this from the Mu'allafat? Should we take it authentic or what? You know, for the sake of the English speaking Muslims, shouldn't the translators use the right isnad instead of the last one?
Yeah, that would be nice. I would not worry too much about Mu'allafat in Sahih al-Bukhari. Mostly they're from the Tab'een, from the Sahaba.
How would you
like it? You look at the chain. Well, the best way, by the way, is to look at one of two books, either Fath al-Bari or Tabliq al-Ta'aliq by Ibn Hajar. Both of them are by Ibn Hajar. Tabliq al-Ta'aliq, Ibn Hajar took all the mu'alaqat out of Sahih al-Bukhari and he put them into one collection and he discussed all of them in that book. It's five volumes, published now, five volumes, but you cannot count the first one because it's the life of Ibn Hajar and the life of al-Bukhari. But there's four volumes and he discusses all of the mu'alaqat. Otherwise, in Fath al-Bari, when he discusses the hadith, also he discusses them. And so for those of you who have access to Arabic, it is inshallah no problem. The work of Suyuti, who has written on almost every topic under the sun. If you go to Muhammad Tuqan, he can give you, mashallah, books from Suyuti. You cannot imagine anyone even thinking of writing on these topics. Lakin in Hadith, he was he wasn't very strict when it came to grading Hadith. So in other words, if the Suyuti says the Hadith is Sahih or Hasan, it may not actually be Sahih or Hasan, because he was a little bit lax. But if he says it's Da'if, then most likely it is Da'if. Suhani is similar.
How about when we use the hadith? Should we?
Just the last question and we'll be leaving. Sorry for the interruption.
Well, let me just a minute before you ask. Let me say salamu alaikum to you all now, so I have a free way to the car.
Okay, have a nice trip.
I'm
planning on buying the Albani. Do you recommend or not using the Albani? سلسلة الأحاديث الصحيحة يعني سلسلة
الأحاديث
he probably will say yeah but do you recommend taking Albani seriously and if not which source we should use to pinpoint the weakened hadith I think it's important to separate the weakened hadith from the strong hadith
I think there's no question that Muhammad Nasir al-Din Albani is the greatest muhaddith alive today. There's no question about that. And just because he has some mistakes, especially with respect to Sahih al-Bukhari, he has also some other mistakes in other of his works. No, but it's according to the Ummah, that all of the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim are authentic. He is going against the Ijma', actually. He has another characteristic which isn't very good on his part, is he has a tendency sometimes to rely on manuscripts that have not really been certified to be authentic. And he used lots of manuscripts sometimes, which the other scholars are not familiar with, and they're not sure whether those manuscripts are sound. But in general, his grading of hadith is in accordance with most of the ulama, and he doesn't disagree with the ulama in general, except for when it comes to these hadith in Sahih Muslim and some others. So in general, his is very good, and you can benefit a lot from his work.
السلام عليكم.